Thanks a million for that. That was amazing. I just want to give thanks to our small group. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, our small group was asked to do tonight, and they so willingly said, yes, okay, sure, no problem, and emailed me different suggestions, and we all came together with one theme, and the theme was about the heart. I think the title, I was getting mixed up with the title as well. It's the heart of the matter, or the matters of the heart, or it's all about our hearts anyway. And the Lord's been really speaking to me about this as a church, and it's still in development, it's still growing, about our heart as a church. We can all have all the fancy programs in the world, but if we don't have a right heart for Jesus, a right heart for the community, a right heart for people, our programs aren't going to work. And so I know he'll develop this a little bit more. So the title is The Heart of the Matter. There it is. I have a different title here, but sometimes things don't match up quite right. But it's about our heart. And tonight it's just in three sections. We're going to be looking at a broken heart, what the effects are of a broken heart, how we can get our broken hearts mended. I'm going to do that bit, and I'll show you a video as well. Rory's then going to look at a slow heart, slow to believe, slow to react, slow to hear. He's going to talk about that. And then thirdly, I'll come back up and talk about a burning heart. What's that like? What's it like to have a burning heart? And it all comes from one scripture in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. And Rory's going to read that for us. Just Luke 24, if you want to turn to it in your Bibles, verses 13 to 35.
Page 1061 in the Red Bibles. On the road to Emmaus. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their voices downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it is the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us all that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to his tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thanks, Ray. So Jesus, the issues of the heart, even myself, I've been learning so much, and Lord, even in preparing this, I need you to speak to me more clearly about the things that I need to tidy up in my heart, correct in my heart, change in my heart. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to our hearts, that you want to show us something tonight. You want to see change in our lives. You are ready and waiting, sitting beside each of us, Lord. Lord, with your pointer to some scripture that's read tonight, to some point that's made, Jesus, point out to us what needs to be changed in our hearts, Father. Lord, I praise you that they can be pure as white as snow because of your blood. But Lord, we know that as humans we fail every day. So we open ourselves up tonight. We feel safe in this place. We know you are here. And we give you permission to speak. I give you these notes. I give you the preparation from our small group. Or I give you this topic. And we wait on you. Glory to you, Jesus, this night for what you will do. Amen. So, the issues of the heart. I learned some facts on the internet about our hearts. Women's hearts beat faster than men's hearts. Don't know why. It's the center of our being. If there's something wrong with our heart, it will be shown in our face or in our body. If the heart's not working properly, it's one of the last things that we'll give up if we're sick or if there's something wrong with us. I unfortunately saw one of my grandfathers have a heart attack and his face was pure grey. I'll never forget it. And yet he still wanted a drink of water as he was having a heart attack, and then he died later that day. Steve Irwin, a stingray can only kill you by stabbing you in the heart. And you know Steve Irwin died by having the stingray stab him in the heart. They made it a bit sensational how he went, but it's the only way a stingray can kill you. It's the centre of our emotions, the centre of our being. So it's very important, and scripture has a lot to say about it. And as I said, we're just dividing this evening into three: our broken hearts, slow hearts, our burning hearts. So first of all, broken. In verse 17, we read, he asked them, Jesus asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still and their faces were downcast. They were disappointed. They had heavy hearts. We know from the story that Jesus had died and they saw him being put into the tomb, but it was the third day and no body was there. And he said he was going to rise from the dead and he was going to live forever, but there was no evidence of that. They were very disappointed. They were even kind of given out a bit to Jesus, saying, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem? And do you not even know what's been happening these days? They were getting a bit narky even with Jesus himself, although they didn't know who he was at that stage. And when our hearts get broken, there's some causes that happen, knock-on effects from a broken, damaged, hurt heart. Our hearts get broken because of failed relationships sometimes. Our hopes are shattered when our hearts get hurt. Disappointments, like the disciples. Disappointments with people on earth. Bereavements, a death. Rejection can cause a heart to get broken. But what are some of the effects? I just have three. The first effect, and this is what the guys were doing in the story, run away. Let's run away. Oh, it's too hard. Let's go away. Let's leave. Let's turn away. I was with a friend the other day, and she was giving out stink about church, and the last time she was in church was 3 years ago, and yet they did this and they said that. She hasn't been to church since. Her option, she said, was just to run away, just to leave. The disciples left Jerusalem. Let's go to Emmaus. Sure, it's all over now in Jerusalem. David, whenever his son with Bathsheba died, he lay down for 7 days. It doesn't say in scripture he buried his head in the sand, but he lay face down. He wouldn't eat. He was heartbroken because of what had happened. Peter was heartbroken whenever Jesus got arrested. He wasn't doing great, and he went in the defensive. He got a bit arguable, and he turned away from Christ, you know, when he denied him 3 times. Sometimes when we have a hurt or broken heart, we think one of the options is to just run away, turn away. Sure, it'll go away then, won't it?
I'm going to show you a video after I finish my point about the broken heart. And in it, look out for the line. The girl sings, running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Who's done that? It's a song by the Casting Crowns. A brilliant song called Does Anybody Hear Her? So sometimes when we have a hurt, broken heart, we think one of the options is to run away. Another option, or another thing that will happen if we have a broken heart, is that we get blinded to the truth. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus. They couldn't see who was with them at that time. And we know that Jesus is with us all the time, no matter what state our heart's in. They weren't switched on enough to realize that he definitely was there. Before I met Rory, I had one other boyfriend called Philip. I was mad about him. And went out with him for 2 years, and then I dumped him. I thought he wasn't good enough for me. But sure then, of course, as girls do, the next day I wanted him back, and he wouldn't have me back. And sure, I just ran after him, and oh, someday, you know, and I used to give God a little test, you know, that, okay, if I go back to my flat and Philip is wrong, it means we're going to get married. Like, where do we go with those kind of thoughts sometimes? I was so blinded to the truth because my heart was broken, and my heart did break. I used to, on the farm, go for big walks with the dogs and listen to Christian music and cry my eyes out, and I really felt one day my heart broke. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I felt a real deep pain in my heart. There's no bad thing to be heartbroken. It's the results of it that are important, and I was blinded to the truth. He wasn't good enough for me, and would never have been good enough to me, and sure, I got a better man anyway. But we can't see what's really happening when our heart is damaged, when it's broken, when we're disappointed. When we read scripture, it gets blurry, or we try to translate it the way we want to fix it or to work it. Our motive is wrong, and the Bible doesn't speak about my situation. We're great at giving out. We read it with a one-sided attitude. We're blinded to the truth of what Jesus really wants to do when our hearts are broken. Again, in this video, look out for the line, searching for a hero to ride in and save the day. The disciples were disappointed. Jesus, the hero, didn't ride in and save the day. So he died, and then his body wasn't even there. Jesus was meant to be there for them, and they were given out. They were blinded to the truth of what all the prophets had said, of what all the scriptures had said, and you know in the story, Jesus explained it to them properly. And thirdly, if our heart's broken, we can just run away and think that's the best option. We can be blinded to the truth of the gospel and of situations, but we also can make bad choices, come to wrong assumptions about things. The guys in the story made the assumption, Jesus is dead, it's over. It wasn't true. You can be confused. You cannot believe scripture. You cannot believe God. Again, in this video, I'll show it to you in a second. There's a lapse of reason. And we keep searching for hope. And again, in this scripture, it says, the guys, we had hoped he was the risen Christ. He was. They just didn't see it. And then they made a bad choice. They came to the wrong assumption. And that might have happened to you recently where your heart's been broken, you've been disappointed, someone's let you down, something has let you down, like my friend even at church. And we can come to wrong assumptions. We can be blinded by the truth, and we can think the best option is to run away. But it's not. We'll learn that later on. So the video is, does anybody hear her? Clodagh in our group sent it to me, and I just cried when I watched it. It's great. And it's about a girl, and does anyone see her? And there's a guy at the end as well, and does anybody see him? And it's all about, she feels rejected, she feels not worth it, and how does church fit into that? And again, she runs away, she looks for the hero to save the day, she has lapse of reason, but the church is the hope for her broken heart. So can you run that, Sarah? Thank you.
She is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find she's another 2 years old. more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for shelter and affection that she never found at home. She is searching for a hero to ride in, to ride in to save the day. And in walks her Prince Charming, and he knows just what to say. Momentary lapse of reason, she gives herself away. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for. Under every steeple, with lofty glances from lofty people, they can't see past a scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple, with lofty glances from lofty people, can't see past a scarlet letter.
I'm just going to briefly look at the verse where it says, where Jesus says, how slow of heart you are to believe what the prophets have spoken. And we use that expression a bit sometimes to say, oh, somebody's a bit slow, they're slow on the uptake, they're, you know, where maybe somebody, maybe not necessarily that they're mentally slow, but we use that expression, you know, if somebody takes a while to suddenly understand, you know, they might be slow, it could be a joke, it could be a story, it could be a riddle, and it can be quite frustrating sometimes if, you know, you've explained some kind of complex story to somebody and they're still just kind of looking at you and they actually still don't get the point, and they're kind of they're in another completely different sphere of the story, and you're kind of going, you know, what part of the whole story did you not get? And they're still just looking there with glazed eyes. But the main point that I want to draw out of this verse where Christ said to them, you know, how slow of heart you are to believe, is that he says what all that the prophets have spoken. So in other words, my emphasis from this verse is that it was their lack of knowledge of the scriptures, their lack of knowledge of the Bible, that made them slow of heart. And he's almost saying, like, don't be foolish, read your Bible. And what does he do then? He goes through from the beginning, right from the beginning of the scriptures, from starting with Moses, he goes right through all the scriptures, basically explaining how they've got to this point now where Christ had to die. He had to die. That was the, you know, that was what they just couldn't get their heads around. And you know, I just think for all of us, if we spend more time reading the Bible, the Lord will reveal just so many more things to our heart, and our hearts will be able to understand His way so much more, and Scripture will become alive. It will become alive, and the best way to do that is to just form the actual habit of reading Scripture on a regular basis. I think if I asked most of you today, did you eat your breakfast? You would say, yeah, you had your breakfast. And I used to have this little slogan years ago, where it was like, no Bible, no breakfast. So in other words, the Bible was more important to me than my breakfast. So, and perhaps maybe some of you guys who really enjoy your breakfast and maybe take 20 minutes over your breakfast, well, maybe you could have that as a challenge for yourselves. And you know, it's not just the head work, the heart. It's the heart is the center of our being. It's the core of our emotions, our will. It's what drives our life. And we're called to believe in Jesus with all of our hearts, not only our heads. And there's a great verse from Romans 10, verse 9, which says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, your mouth that you confess and are saved. So that's really it, short and sweet. I believe that, you know, if you want to not be slow of heart, I think the key is to really get into the scriptures, get into a regular Bible reading program, personal Bible reading program, and I think you will personally be amazed at how the Holy Spirit will work. There's that expression people use, that people are quickened in their spirit. They just get things. They get things like that. They're not sitting there for 15 minutes and suddenly it dawns on them. They just get it like that in a second, in a split second. So Kate's just going to finish up with the burning heart.
Thanks. So, how's your heart? Broken? Is it slow? Or is it burning? And this is the last point. Jesus said, they asked each other after being with Jesus, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And don't you notice when someone's on fire for God? Don't you notice when you see the change in them? They're different. They act differently. I was trying to list off different people I knew had a real burning heart for God. Peter Gannon, what do you think of when you think of Peter Gannon? You think of Haiti. His real heart, his heart's on fire about Haiti. William Wilberforce, one of my heroes, his heart was to see the abolition of slavery. Paddy, I thought of Paddy. Paddy's heart is for the local kids in the local area, unmistakably. Billy Graham, a heart for the lost. Mary Finn, a heart for prophecy and prayer. And I think it kind of came from, we had dinner with John and Catherine there a couple of years ago, and John leant forward and he was like, Kate, I don't know your heart, Kate. You know, I don't know what's in your heart. And, like, and I was really getting offensive, and I'm like, yeah, but you know me. And, you know, and I just, but it really got me thinking, and I think this is nearly the result of where I'm going, is just, it's our heart. What is our heart on fire for the things of God? Is it on fire? Does it burn? Like John Wesley said, I ask God to set me on fire and people come and watch me burn. Would you dare to do that? Would you? To have your heart burn? I could understand what Rory was saying about my heart being quickened, but is my heart burning for Christ? Burning for the things of God? And just to warn you, don't ever have coffee with Liesl Raymer from DCM, because you'll end up doing a camp for her. She works for DCM, as many of you know, Liesl and Danny. And so stupidly, I met her for coffee. I have done for the last year, and I spoke at one of her camps a few weeks ago there. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I used this illustration about the difference that you can tell if someone really has Jesus in their heart. And we all look the same on the outside, pretty much, you know, eyes, nose, hair, mouth, shape, slightly different, of course, but pretty much the same on the outside. But when someone's heart's on fire, you can tell the difference. And I used the illustration of an egg. I'll not do what I did with the kids, because if they picked the wrong egg, I smashed it over their head. But one of these eggs is boiled. And how do you tell a difference? How do you tell the difference of someone who's on fire? I'll go on that in a minute. How do you tell the difference with an egg that's boiled? It doesn't spin. So this is this egg boiled or not? No, it's not. Is this one boiled? No, it doesn't spin, but an egg that's boiled. We were looking after Ben this afternoon and he stood on it, but this one's boiled and it'll spin for a long time. See that?
Yes.
So, how do we tell the difference of someone whose heart is on fire? All pretty much the same, but what about inside? Your heart, what's it really like inside? Rob was praying that earlier, that out of the mouth the heart speaks. You'll know by the way people speak. Rory found this verse in Proverbs. A heart at peace gives life to the body. You'll have peace. You'll have life in your body. Someone said that after you reach 30 and over, some of us here are over 30, your face starts to show what you're going through in your life. Your countenance will tell what's going on in your heart. You can tell what's inside if someone's heart's on fire. And people will be able to tell in our church if we're on fire for him. They will be able to tell. And this is what the Lord's been really speaking to me about. If a church has a heart for God, it will reflect God's love and mercy. Do we do that? Do we? If a church has a heart to welcome in strangers, the strangers will feel welcomed in. If a church has a heart for the community, then the community will know it's valued and accepted and loved. If a church has a heart for evangelism, people will be invited in and they will come to Alpha. We're doing Alpha in January. They'll come. If a church has a heart for the purposes and the will of God, his purposes and his will be fulfilled in this church. And even in that video, to go back to it, they are all under the shadow of our steeple, all the lost and lonely people. You saw that sung a few times in that video. They're all under the shadow of our steeple, the lost and lonely people. Do we see them? Do we hear them? So how can we get our hearts to burn, to be on fire? Ezekiel 18, I'm going to read it out, it's three verses. It says, "Therefore, O house of Kor, I will tell you and judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the Lord. Repent. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart. Get a new spirit." Get a new heart. I had just planned to say, get a new heart, get a new spirit. This is what I want. I want to get a new heart, get a new spirit. As we read in verse 35 of our scripture, when the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized them when they broke bread, when we have fellowship with one another, when we break bread together, that's when we'll have the revelation of God on our lives. That's how we can regenerate our heart every time. I don't know if you do it at home yourselves. I just believe our church doesn't do it enough. We should do it every Sunday. It's one thing I will say about getting Mass, as Rory often talks about it, getting Mass in the Catholic Church. You know, to take communion, to have that fellowship with God as often as we can. In this story, they were hanging out with Jesus. They were talking to Jesus. It's another way we can get a new heart. Knowing our scriptures. These guys knew their scriptures. They just kind of got a bit blinded. Also, we sang it in one of the songs. Thanks again, Patty. Lord, have your way with us and in us, to say that and mean it. This is how we can get our hearts to burn. And finally, to fall more in love with Jesus. And I think that's the bottom line. Again, Rob prayed it, that we're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, aren't we? To fall in love with Jesus more. So how do we get our hearts to burn? To get a new heart and a new spirit. Have fellowship with others. Take communion more. Talk to Christ more. Hang out with him more. Know our scriptures better. Say, Lord, have your way. And fall more in love with him. And we're going to finish with a drama. It's just a 3-4 minute drama. The two of the girls are going to do. It's called Install Your Love. And there's going to be lots of viruses and bad documents mentioned in relation to our hearts. And it's a drama that will take us through some of the things that can get in the way of our hearts being full of love, our hearts being totally right with God. Of course, we have broken hearts. We all go through life on earth. That happens, life on earth. Our slow hearts, yeah, forgive us, Lord, when we're slow on the uptake. But we can learn to be more quick to heed him. And burning hearts, how can we get more on fire for God? Let's see how we can install love in our hearts. Thanks, Emily and Clodagh. Welcome. Thank you, girls. Stars in the making. So daily maintenance, come on. We're all in this together. Come and meet with him. Our small group are here. We can pray with you. What has God spoken to you about? It's a lot, I know, but was it one word? Was there one thing you felt you could grasp onto? Come and we'll stand with you shoulder to shoulder, it says that in scripture, and present you before the great physician to let him start working on our hearts, changing them for his glory and his purposes. Thank you.